This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 41, The Premium Currency. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here at GamesAtWork.biz headquarters in beautiful, sunny... where am I? I'm in North Carolina. And I'm here with my...
Is that where the headquarters are?
They are right now, because if we averaged headquarters, right, it would be somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean. So we've got two people in North Carolina right now, and your heart is in North Carolina. So I'm so glad to have my co-host Michael Martin back after his relaxing time out on the ocean blue.
Yes, the Mediterranean Ocean blue, so to say.
Yeah, well, it's a sea, right?
Well, we can call it open ocean. What the hell?
What the hell? You know? And unfortunately, our third co-host is once again trapped due to travel problems. I think she needs to learn about cars instead of planes. Or maybe planes, trains, and automobiles. There's a nice train that goes between her current location and her current travel location that is a nice little train ride. It takes just about...
Is that the Excella?
It's the one right out of downtown Durham. And yeah. It takes just about as long as it does to drive. Ooh, that was interesting music. That's a sneak preview of what's coming up later on GamesAtWork.biz. So, Michael, tell us what you've been up to.
About 6'1". And I've been, kind of hanging out back at work and, back from the Mediterranean.
Woo!
So, exactly.
Seen some awesome
been playing
pictures.
Games. Been
some
working.
Awesome pictures. Especially
some awesome
of
pictures.
The one cathedral. Saint blah, blah,
yes,
blah, blah.
Yeah. Sagrada Familia.
The something about gracious family, maybe. Is that right?
Yeah, the Holy Family. Yeah, I've wanted to go see this cathedral since high school.
Woohoo!
I haven't looked this up recently because there's a piece of music, and I don't remember if it was Alan Parsons' project or who did it. I have to look this up.
It was the Blue Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster called La Sagrada Familia.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the song that you're talking or trying to reference. But I think that would be so funny if Blue Oyster Cult did a song about a cathedral.
Well, I took a bunch more pictures that were not on the phone of like the stained glass and everything else. And this particular cathedral, was the vision of the architect who built it was so expansive that it certainly outlasted him and his entire life. He lived on site working on the cathedral for, I think it was like 40 years. I mean, ridiculous amounts of time.
Have you read the Pillars of the Earth book by Ken Follett? I think that's his name. There's this great storyline about a family of builders building a cathedral over time.
Really?
Yeah, you should read it.
Well, it was and maybe so. I mean, we've talked about the Long Now and concepts like this before. The hope is that the cathedral may be complete on the 100th anniversary of the architect Gaudi, as his name's his death.
Yes. Yes. Antonio Gaudi.
So. Yes. Ah, and there you have it. That is,
I guess
is,
it would be
fact,
Gaudi, not Gaudi, because you wouldn't want it to be a Gaudi church.
No.
Unless it's G-O-D-I-E.
It was absolutely stunning,
gorgeous,
and breathtaking.
The way the lights show up through some of the stained glass were just phenomenal.
The light inside, it was amazing. If you ever get a chance to go, so you scroll down.
Yeah, I'm looking at the roof detail.
Roof there.
Yeah,
look at that roof. you know, and each of those, if you look at the center of the roof to the left, right, bottom, left, and right, too, you'll see upper left, right, bottom, left, and right. Those ovals are stained, lights.
Are they lights or are they light coming in from outside?
No, they're backlit glass inside of the cathedral on those pillars. I mean, there's awesome. It's some absolutely amazing stuff. And in some cases, there are elevators that go up them. And you can see on that particular picture how the structure of the roof is borne by these branches. They are branches that come off of the pillars, and they look very much like trees. So, and the pillars themselves, they twist as they go up. It's a twist. It's breathtaking.
Beautiful.
Absolutely breathtaking. So, yeah, so we got a chance to see some really
cool
things.
So you've been
goofing
off is what you're saying.
Got to see some.
New.
We're getting to see some of the things that there are here to see. We got to see Pompeii, which was another one of my bucket list, personal bucket list things. Nice. And for those of you who've never had the opportunity to walk in on a 2,000-year-old street, you ought to. It's just absolutely incredible to think of, you know, the people that were right there where you were that day 2,000 years before. And you can see where people went to eat. You can see where people were shopping. You can see where people – how people crossed the roads. You can feel with your own hand how people drank from the public water fountains, and that as you reach down to drink from the public water fountains, your hand kind of goes into the same groove that was worn by hundreds, probably thousands of people. Amazing.
Very cool. Very cool. That's awesome. Well, welcome back.
Yes, Mom.
And now it's time to talk about games at work.
Little space ghosty there, aren't you?
Yes.
I never was a fan of space ghosts.
Me neither. It was stupid. Oh, we just lost our second listener. We're down to three now.
We're moving from the travel show to let's alienate people who like cartoons that are affiliated.
Hey, that's how we got our numbers up during Dog Year Nation, is by alienating people.
There you go.
And speaking of which,
so we have some really good. We have some great links. And
we do.
Have some great things to talk about today.
We do. So let's talk about them. Let's just jump right in. Why don't we? You know, the first one I want to hit is a link that I saw. I think it was from the gamification page on Facebook. They follow us over at gamesatwork.com, gamesatwork.biz, and you know, they put some really cool links out there. And this one's called Habit RPG, which,
yes,
if we all remember, we played a game, gosh, 2-3 years ago, I think it was, that was Chore Wars.
Chore Wars, exactly, yes.
Aha, I pulled that one out of air, didn't I? Because when we were doing the pre-show, I was trying to remember the name, and I couldn't remember it.
I was too, but it came to me as well.
Right. Oh, did you put it up on the screen? Oh, cool. I didn't see that. Anyway, because I actually was not looking at the screen. Anyway, and so what this allows you to do is to build a set of different levels of quests, right? To battle your way through over time in order to improve your day-to-day habits. So for example, you define rewards that you want, like eating a piece of cake. But in order to achieve that reward, you must have certain daily activities that you do, like, say, go on a 30-minute run, and certain habits that you do to give you the experience points to take the reward. The other cool thing about this that I like, though, is you can decide to heck with it. I want me some cake. And you can go eat the cake, and you will actually take damage against your health bar. So you can kill your character in the game. And, you know, it kind of teaches you the reward thereof. You know, you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, and it's going to have a detrimental effect to your character in this RPG.
And I just clicked on cake, so I got the reward. But it looks like I took some damage.
Right.
Or did I take damage?
You should have, because unless you've got enough reward points, enough experience points, you shouldn't be able to have the cake.
Oh, no, this is the deal. I didn't have enough GP, so I guess that was game points to purchase the reward. I could buy it anyway and lose hit points.
Exactly.
Punishment for taking a reward you did not earn.
It's gold pieces. You earn gold pieces and you lose hit points.
There you go.
Isn't that cool? I thought this was a great way, especially as an old D&D player, which I know you are too. This was a great way of taking kind of the game mechanics of D&D, or AD&D if you played those rules. Third edition, second edition, fourth edition. Anyway, and we should probably have links to all those different editions from Wizards of the Coast now. So AD&D, second edition.
I never liked cantrips, though. You know, cantrips, you know, you could kind of leave those. I didn't need that.
Yeah. Well, I actually I still have the original set of books from the White Box set, which was the original Gary Gygax and partner set, where the entire universe was defined in such a way that it didn't have to be Dungeons and Dragons. It could be Mob Wars. It could be whatever. It just didn't really matter. And then they added the four extended books, including Gods, Demigods, and Heroes, which put you in, which put you directly in that space by definition. But anyway, so I think they've done a really good job on this game of taking that mechanic that a lot of us grew up with playing and having fun with, and turning it into something that can actually be used to change your behavior, which is pretty cool.
Yes. I'm just customizing my avatar right now, and I've managed to level up while we've done this.
So did you create an account, or are you playing with the demo one?
I'm just goofing around with the demo one here for a moment, because I was like, okay, I've got, you know, 9-10 hours of productive work. Click, 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 click.
Yep.
Added a few, you know, other things that were here, like, you know, habits of, you know, record the show, you know. There we go.
I like the fact that you have dailies, too. So if you're playing WoW or any of the MMOs right now, you have dailies that you do in order to level up reputation with certain factions inside the game so you get the cool gear.
Yes. And I just unlocked the store, so I could get a leather helm or a wooden shield, you know? You know,
Yes, I do know what a shield is. Would it be a mana potion?
No!
Dogger Nation callback.
Not mana potion. Not vial in a vial, for those of you who want to see that. Yeah, that should be a show link that we refer to and then never experience again. God, that was awful.
I'll add that in.
And actually, this feels easier to use than the Chore Wars example that we played, you know, some time ago, whenever that was.
Episode one of Game of Thrones. I'm going to have to do that.
No, it's a reward. You're going to get zinged.
No, but I did 16 hours of productive work today, and I took the stairs.
So I did that too, now I only have nine. Nine gold pieces. I have nine gold pieces. Oh, 95 silver pieces. Is that what that is?
Yeah. But you had cake already.
Well, yeah, of course I had cake.
Right. See, I didn't have cake.
Dad is great. He gives us cake.
Chocolate cake, man.
There you go. Now, I like this. What a great find. And where did you say you saw this again?
I believe I got it from the gamification link. If not, I got it off of Twitter. I can't remember where I got it, but I thought it was so cool. And it really did allow you to build things up. And so you could do quests, i.e. to-dos. Mm-hmm. You do habits, which are things that you want to do over and over again and get a reward each time you do it. But the interesting thing about the habits is the reward tapers off over time.
Ah,
and
you know
at
what
least that's
what interesting
happens.
Is if the reward was a little variable.
Yeah, and then the dailies are things that you want to do every day.
Mm-hmm. But you see where I'm going, right? If the reward is kind of variable, then you don't know that, okay, I do a daily thing and therefore I get, you know, 50 silver pieces for doing such a thing. It could be 50, it could be 500. You never know.
Yeah.
You could try it.
Which would then encourage you even more. So you can hit a plus, which you already did. You created a habit of record show. I assume it was a habit, not a daily.
It was a habit, yep.
Yep. And I'm looking at it, and if I go into edit, you can go to advanced options and define that it's a hard thing to do because we got to schedule everybody. And then based off of that, when you record the show, I got 2 gold points and 15 experience points.
Oh, how very nice.
And I did it again. I got 1.94 gold and 14.5 experience. So each time I click it, it's going down. Again, I think a great way of doing things to change your behavior.
Yes.
So you had a link. Actually, you had
a
game.
I did, and I may actually join in a second game, but let me talk about the first
another
one first.
Game. So you're going to give me another game that I haven't had time to look at? That looks like Pixel People.
Yeah, it is. Did we talk about that before?
Oh yeah.
No, never mind.
Years ago.
Okay, so we'll come
by the way,
to that second.
That game's driving me nuts because I can't sync it between my two devices, which really stinks. Pixel People, that is, and they added all these new people in it.
Okay, well, let's talk about Pixel People first because we're right there. So
there.
What I have found about Pixel People that's been pretty nifty, needed a piece keen, is that you have the whole splicing thing, right? So the splicing thing is that you're creating job roles based upon two people's job roles.
Yeah.
And by doing so, like if you do, what was it, sheriff plus sheriff, you know, you get a policeman or something like that.
I got a sushi cook recently.
Did you?
Yeah.
I got a tin foil hat wearing guy for what do they call him? Something a little strange. He was like not a mad scientist, but a conspiracy theorist or something like that.
Yeah, that must be one of the new characters. I haven't gotten that high up though. What level are you? I keep running out of money trying to get my expansion.
Yeah, I do too. I've managed to get 245 blocks of land, so that's where I'm sitting right now.
I don't know what that means. I guess I should be able to look that up, though, right? If I pull mine,
because it doesn't tell you a level number
or something like that.
It doesn't tell you a level number. It just says that. So the reason why I picked Pixel People as one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was the variability. So we were just talking about the example of being rewarded for, the various tasks that you do.
Jeez.
And in this particular game, that's right. Now I remember us talking about it. When you click on the trees. You know, from time to time, you're going to be able to get your
unobtainium,
right? Utopium is what they call it.
Blue monkeys. You get blue monkeys.
Whatever.
I have little magic hearts that keep coming up everywhere.
The paymium, currency.
Yes,
right?
Paymium currency. I like that. That's a good term.
I thought it was pretty good when I heard it too.
Where'd you hear that? I haven't heard it.
You hadn't heard that one
yet?
I believe that's yet another bow in the general direction of our friend Andy Inako. So, because he talks about paymium games versus freemium games. So the thing that I was after here is that when you click on the trees in this particular game, the trees will either give you 100 coins,
or
sometimes
1,000.
They will give you 1,000 coins. Sometimes they will give you the utopium, in-game paymium currency.
Yes.
And the frequency by which it does those things, giving you 1,000 or some degree of utopium, which I've actually gotten, I think, before at least 3, maybe even 6 utopium from one little tree.
Oh, see, I need that because I keep running out of utopium and I can't build houses anymore.
I know. So that, it's something that hooks you in. It's designed to be annoying, and it's designed to hook you in, and
ain't
it's designed to give you that little bit of endorphin. Beep. Oh, look at that. You just got another 3 pieces of utopium for free. Blip. Okay, now you're going to try it some more. Blip. Now you're going to press it again. Blip. And it's the same sort of blip, blip, blip that happens in Las Vegas when people pull that lever.
Yeah, lever pullers.
And you're in the zone of where it's like, it's only a dollar. I'll just spend the dollar. I don't care.
Yes.
And now, you and I are too smart for that.
We are. I haven't paid anything on this.
I haven't paid anything on it either, and I think the reason for that is because if you think about Cialdini and you think about the ways that games like this try to lull you into that zone where you are willing to pay a dollar to just get to that next frickin' level because you're stuck and you're frustrated, you and I both see exactly how the game mechanics are working, and you can say, you know what, I opt out of that.
Right,
but the game's fun, so I'll play the fun part.
Yeah. I like, so, again, so why do I play those types of games? I like the discovery aspect and figuring out all the cool different ways of generating new people. Like right now, Wrestler and Animal Trainer. That's a new one for me. It's going to create something.
Yes. Yes, and you'll find out in about 5 minutes what it actually creates.
No, it says I'm going to find out in 10 minutes.
Oh, well, that's because you didn't buy enough of the whatchamacallits, the spirit elements.
I don't know about that.
Another thing to know. So if you buy these special tiles and place them on your screen, so instead of trees, which you can buy too, you can also buy these spirit tiles, so transformer grids, or I've got like a whole bunch of basketball courts. Ask me why.
Gee.
That's
a surprise.
that each of those basketball courts gives me three spirit. And you can get a maximum discount on time and expansion of about 50%. So if you have enough spirit points, you can lower the cost of expansion and lower the amount of time that it takes for a new clone to be created. Send in the clones!
Send in the clones!
So it's quite nice in from that risk regard, and I like the discovery too because it's got some really neat little quests now that are being put into place.
Yeah, I see that, but I don't know how to do any of them because I guess I don't have enough spirit.
The quests usually require you to have some of the animules.
I've got tons of animules.
All right, well then that's good. So
do I have to go look at each of the animals to figure out the quests?
No, but you do need to talk to them.
Talk to the animals.
I heard a piece recently where somebody was saying that the Dr. Doolittle movie was like the worst movie ever. And I guess I was too young when I watched it because I still have sort of fond memories of it.
No, they're talking about the Eddie Murphy one.
Oh,
he did a remake of it, and it was probably the worst movie ever.
Okay, well, maybe so. I was thinking about the original.
No, the original one was
50s one or something.
1823. That's when they filmed it.
Of course.
So
without going into super deluxe detail on how to play this game, the elements of it that I'm finding that they're A, refreshing it faster than I'm able to play it to its limits, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, unlike
B,
the Simpsons,
they're inserting new things. They're actually doing pretty well, too.
Simpsons is doing good about adding new things, but, I mean, you and I are both at the maximum level.
Yes.
And we have been for some time. And every time they add a new level, it's almost immediately that we pop the level.
Yeah, which I think is fine, too. The point there is they've got additional content.
Yes.
And a lot of their content, they're wanting you to do the premium donuts.
Not going to happen.
And unlike Leo Laporte, I'm not paying for the donuts.
That's because you're not an idiot.
Well, I'm not saying that he is. It's just that, you know, I'm not going to pay for the donuts.
I think, what's the phrase? You have too much more luck than sense. But in his case, he knows what they're doing. He has more money than sense.
You know, there was something that was done, I think, on a recent Mac break where they were talking about, what was it, stick figure golf?
Yes. I've got that on my Samsung Tab.
That if you were to buy every potential upgrade and have every capability in
it's
the
like
game.
It's like $1,600 or something like that. It was some astronomical
amount. No, it was 185, I think, is what it was.
There were multiple numbers they were throwing around, and I don't care about any of them. It's like... not going to do it.
Yeah.
There was like, if you wanted to level up through this one thing, you had to have like 8,000 games with highest ranked players or something like that to do it for free. It was just...
Right. And you had to beat them all in order to do it. Yeah, and those, I think, you know, those are the ones where you kind of reach that crest limit and you're like, okay, the game is fun. I'm enjoying it. And, yeah, I also might pay $5 or $6 for a game that's just been, like, super fun. I really want to play it all the way through. But no way, no how am I going to be, you know, grinding for, you know, years right. on stuff like that. Just, no, forget
Well, speaking
it.
Of games and, that you grind, don't yeah. we all remember Gauntlet?
Oh, we all remember Gauntlet.
We remember Gauntlet. How many quarters did you drop into that game as a kid?
A ton, and I usually played either the elf or the wizard, and normally when I was in groups of people, I was the elf.
I was usually the wizard or the elf also, and if I did groups, I did the wizard. So we would have been able to play. It would have been awesome.
It would be great. I actually got the Gauntlet game, and Gauntlet, there was a couple of flavors of it too for PS2, I think.
I have it on my iPad, both Gauntlet and Gauntlet 2.
Do you?
Yes. I paid for the upgrade. It was an in-app purchase inside the Midway arcade game thing.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And it's really hard to play on an iPad.
Yeah, no, I remember seeing that.
And it's doing those on-screen two controllers, two thumbstick controllers on screen, which yeah. is really, really hard to do for yeah. me. But anyway, we have a great little video we're going to throw in the show notes on the website, so you definitely want to go to the show notes on the website itself at gamesatwork.biz and watch everything you've ever wanted to know about Green Elf.
And this is, we should probably advertise, it's one of those not safe for work little videos too, right?
Yeah, I guess. Depends on where you work.
Language, you know.
It has some choice words.
It has some language.
That we don't put in our podcast itself because we keep our G rating.
Yes, Defender, Spy Hunter,
yep.
Rampage. I loved Rampage.
Oh, I still play Rampage on there. That one I can play.
Root Beer Tapper. I didn't play that one.
I played the original Tapper before they renamed it Root Beer Tapper because it was originally a beer tapper.
Arch Rivals.
Yeah. That's the way to play basketball. Speaking of Arch Rivals, I was flying up to New York a couple of weeks ago yes. during the NCAA tournament, and from the time that I walked from the security area to my gate was during when the one player broke his leg in the game.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, ooh, ow.
The Louisville player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah, that was rough. I didn't actually watch that game because that was on while I think it was on aboard ship.
Yep, it was.
But I knew of the outcome. I may go back on the NCAA app and do a little bit of watching on that. But that poor guy, I mean, what they had is a delay of the game for
9 minutes.
Long?
9 minutes.
Yeah.
Ow.
Gruesome.
Ow. Anyway, so you had one other game that we want to talk about real quick, or do we want to throw a thing out to the link that we've got in the show notes from one of our listeners who sent a link of gamification on Coursera had a link that actually takes you to a gamification class from Deloitte & Touche.
Yeah, let's talk about that because that seemed rather interesting as well. And I was kind of, you know, flipping through the report and some of the elements that are in it. So let's hit that for a moment. Then we'll come back to my game and then we'll probably be about at time.
Yep. So I was really glad to see this link. You know, it says that people are really taking this serious. And I the thing that I really liked about it, the fact is that, you know, it's a lot of large enterprises and groups are starting to see that gamification, and we know we all hate the term, is more than just a trend, even though they list it as a tech trend, but it's something that actually companies are making investments in because they're starting to see the value in changing employee behavior, using game-like principles in activities that they're doing to drive customer engagement, etc. So, you know, overall, it kind of validates a lot of the things that we talk about on the show and have been talking about on the show for over a year now. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Over a year now. Did I say that out loud?
I guess so. I didn't realize we've been live and recording for quite that long. That's certainly something.
We started January of 2012.
Yep. Okay. Well, then over a year. What I liked about it, are some of the things that were on the web article, topics and subjects and details that make a lot of sense. Which are examples of this are the gamer's experience ought to be highly positive. Right. So they give the example of Tetris, and they said, 80% of the experience of the game should be positive, and the rest of the time, the 20%, they should be like just barely missing their goal. But they know what they did wrong and how to do it right, and they want to play again.
Yep. And that's exactly it, right? I mean, that's what you want to do. A game that's unbelievably too hard to play, you won't play. A game that's too easy right. gets boring, and you won't play. And the whole thing is you want the engagement in order to drive the information or the behavior change or the engagement that you want the game to deliver.
Well, right. So, and this is all the principle of easy to learn, hard to master. Right. Yep. So you can ratchet up, Tetris is a super example that they're using here because with Tetris, it was an easy game to learn. It became incredibly difficult and eventually everybody lost every game. You couldn't just sit there and play Tetris forever.
Well, right? Unlike, I mean, maybe there's a few people in the world who could. The Donkey Kong game where yes. there was that thing where you would roll over the top of the game if you could play that long.
Yeah, exactly. But you would get to the end of it, and then that would be the end.
Right. It just stopped.
Right. It's like, okay, thank you for your quarter. Goodbye.
Yeah. Bye-bye. But that's – I mean, the real value here in – the real value here in these types of games, though, is, again, the engagement, the challenge, et cetera. And you don't want that bye-bye moment.
Well, right, because in business, there is not a bye-bye moment. There's not a business. We've won the World Cup, and now we can go and celebrate. And next season we're going to come back. It doesn't quite work that way. The next challenge is the next moment.
So let me challenge that month. For a second. Let me challenge that for a second. I can understand that in traditional established businesses, but let's say you're a startup. And one of the things startups need to do is every once in a while, they just need to pivot because the business model that they're trying to do is not successful and they'll run it into the ground. So if that were a game, so if a game were a startup were a game, at certain points, you'd want to hit the reset button. That's that pivot moment. And I'm wondering if there's ways to teach that experience for young entrepreneurs or people who are thinking about doing a business startup from a gamification perspective. How to recognize when you need to pivot.
There probably is. But that would be an exceptionally complex game that would require some modeling skill and talent that is extraordinary.
Yeah, it's just a smop. Smop.
Smop.
Small matter of programming.
I think it's good. I think it's really good. But when I think about many of the simulation games, so think about any of the Sid Meier's games. Think about, the SimCity games.
By the way, SimCity new ones coming to the Mac in June.
I know. I'm pretty excited about it. I've seen some of the demo reels on it. It looks pretty slick.
Except it's an always-on game.
Oh, I didn't realize that, really.
Yeah, it's going to require an always-on network connection.
Yeah, see...
Yeah. WTH.
If they give enough content and capability that justifies that, and maybe, there was interactive stuff, but with other people, okay. I didn't realize that. Really?
Yeah, that was when it launched on Windows a while back. They had server problems, so people were getting in the game as it launched. And server problems were causing issues for Always On, and people couldn't play the game that they had been dying to play and bought in advance, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and if you've spent 20 hours customizing your city and growing it, and it gets lost, that would not be great. Hopefully there's some local caching capability to it.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that aspect because I haven't played it yet because I'm waiting for it on the Mac. But yeah, yes. I'm not an always on fan, right? I mean, I actually want to do things at times that require me to not be on.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. And, you know, there are times when I'd be like, oh, you know what? I'd like to play Tapped Out, but I'm in the middle of the ocean, so I cannot.
Yeah, I've got 8 and 9 hour flights coming up in a couple of weeks, and I will be in that exact situation. And I'm not about to buy network access on the plane over the ocean just to play Tapped Out.
Yeah, but you might.
Bet you won't. I am hoping, that my upgrade comes through.
Apu is going to be doing that 72-hour work shift at the Quickie Mart.
I'm going to be growing some corn, man. Have you done that yet?
I've seen that you were growing corn. You finally harvested it, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like 5,000 experience points.
But it was 90 days, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I always forget to do anything with the garden anyway.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, plant some corn, not worry about it for 90 days. Oh, yeah, there's corn.
Oh, look, money. Ding.
Yep.
All right. Well, so let's move on to the final item that I had here, because this might tie it up in a nice little bow.
It might.
It might not. You never knew.
Who knew?
So the game that I sent your way in our pre-show was one called Nimble Quest. And you said, oh, what, Michael, another 8-bit game.
That's exactly what I said, almost.
Or something like
you
that.
You paraphrased that nicely close for the show.
So this particular game is a game that is essentially the game of Snake that you would play on your feature phone or, you know, the Tron Like Cycle thing. I actually coded a version of this.
I coded a version for it on GW Basic.
TRS 80 color computer. I had a version of this.
Was it a Trash 80 Coco? No, Coco.
No,
Coco
sorry,
two.
It wasn't a Trash. It was the TRS 80 was the one that I got to work on. The color computer was the one that I had at home. The Radio Shack color computer.
Okay.
Anywho, the whole idea of this game is you've got a party of various adventurers that all have different abilities. Some, you know, have a sword. Some of them have a lance. Some of them throw bombs or shoot arrows. You know, where Elf needs food badly in this one too. And you march around the screen. Don't run into the walls. Don't
Marching
run into your
up
own
and
people.
Down
don't
the screen.
Yeah, don't run into other objects while surviving and advancing. Right.
Yep.
So how does this relate to business? You might ask.
How does relate to business? I have asked.
If you're playing the game, and so I'm just playing it right now, and I'm gonna go crash right into the wall just because I can do that.
You can.
One of the things that this game does, it says game over. In my case, it says Gizmo rattled the graveyard gates because I crashed into the graveyard wall. It tells me what my best score was, you know, all the typical stuff. It does ask me in the paymium model to, hey, you can continue this game if you spend some in-game paymium currency. And you can buy more if you want to. And you can shop for additional capabilities and talents. But the thing that I found really intriguing was in the upper left-hand corner.
Yes.
There is a button that says share replay.
What?
Share replay. And if you click on that button that says share replay, you will actually have a replay of your last, you know, element that you were playing, and you could share that with the community of other players. So that got me to thinking. You know what?
What were you thinking about?
What was I thinking about? It was about my mother. No, the thing that got me thinking about was, wouldn't it be exceptionally cool that if you had a very thorny business problem, transactional system, you know, a creative moment, whatever, and you now say, well, I can share that and I might be able to annotate it and I might be able to socially comment on that within the business itself. Wouldn't that be exceptionally cool?
It would.
Wouldn't that be a neat way of saying, you know what? Hey, I had a business problem and I solved it, and this is what I did. So that was my big thought about why this Nimble Bit game to me is a Games at Work star something, a concept, a capability that applies to business, I think, in a really, really interesting way that says, I'm executing a business transaction or business interaction right now. I can record it. I can save it. I can annotate it. I can share it. And I can enable other players, other employees, to do a better job the next time.
And I have just shared my first video on Facebook using the game.
Isn't that slick?
And I'm going to link that over to our Facebook page. So if you're one of our listeners who hasn't started following us over on Facebook yet, go to facebook.com/gamesatworkbiz and follow us over there. We'd appreciate that.
You could also join us over on G+, and you could find our page there as well. We've been sharing a few pictures and links and so on and so forth.
Or over on Twitter at games@work_BIZ.
Or you could follow any of our hosts in the same manner. So, I mean, there are lots of ways to interact and connect. We've got email,
you can
smoke signals.
That's right. Or our favorite location at www.gamesatwork.biz. Where you should come and come follow us, because we want to hear your feedback over there and find out what are the things that you want to hear us talk about. Matter of fact, we had one of our listeners reach out this week, and we are working to set up an interview with a physical therapist out of the Middle East who uses gaming technology to improve her patients' lives.
And that's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to that conversation.
And we've got four or five others lined up behind that, so that should be fun stuff.
Well, I've missed the recording, as you can tell from the length of our show here, and you can see that I've been playing games and thinking about work and so on. So I'm glad that we were able to connect up today, Michael.
Same here. And Phaedra, we miss you.
Yeah, we sure do.
You should follow us over at gamesatwork.com. .biz.
Or, as you're driving, you could connect to us via Skype and we call you in.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's look forward to next week's recording. Hopefully, we'll all be together once more and we will be sharing the latest insight, news, ideas, concepts around business and gaming.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.